Well, I guess there is a. We already had three talks about the additivity question, and I guess that one of the feelings that maybe have been conveyed already is that instead of looking at quantum channels, it's a good idea to look at subspaces. And subspaces of tensor products of Hilbert spaces, and for the counter examples which have been found to the additivity equation, so it was necessary to have random quantum channels here, which was proved to be equivalent to, for the purposes of the study of additivity, the additivity problem, to study a random subspaces of the tensor product of Hilbert spaces. What I would like to, the idea that I would like to try to convey is that somehow we could try to turn this problem of asymptotic geometry into a problem of random matrix theory. And first of all, so let me set a little bit my the stage of the investigation that I would like to make. Let's say that I would like V1 to be of dimension k and V2 to be of dimension n. And I would like to study first a subspace not necessarily random in V, which is of dimension, let's say, capital N. And I'm going to say, I think it's reasonable to say that V is not entangled if and only if I can find E belonging to Ck and F belonging to Cn such that E and F belongs to different from zero each time, and such that E tends F belongs to V. And well, I'm only saying extremely naive things, but let's say that we would like to have a certificate that V is not entangled. So how would I want to check that V is not entangled? One of the way of seeing the problem is to find an element E in C to the K such that the intersection of this vector space and the vector space E tends Cn is not the zero vector space. Because in that case, of course, we find an E tends F, non-trivial E tends F in V, and we are done. So it's enough to find a single one here to ensure that we don't have entanglement. And let me make also a remark which will also look very trivial at this point. It's that if we have that capital N, which was the dimension of N, plus little n is strictly greater than nk, then V cannot be entangled. It's what we teach to our first year undergraduate students. This is the dimension theorem. So, and here you see if V is of large dimension. If V is of large dimension, not only V fails to be entangled, but actually it fails to be entangled for any choice of E here. So, if we try to write somehow the contrapose of this statement would be, so how to check that V is entangled.
Well, what we would have to do is to find, to be able to prove that for all E in CK, we have that E tends CN intersection V is such that, what did I say here? Here probably is what I meant. So here this becomes a little bit impractical because we would have to check it for any element in CK. So now the idea is that we would like to have the general idea of the talk is that we would like to fix K and have n large. So n goes to infinity. What we have is that if we can find, let's say, the E1 up to EL belonging, let's say, in the unit ball of the K vector space, in the unit sphere, maybe we can even say, then if I can find, let's say, alpha, beta, two numbers, which satisfy that sum that alpha plus beta is strictly less than one. And these guys, they would be a net in the sense that for all E in the unit ball BK 0, 1, we would have that the projection on E minus the projection there exists. I can find an I in 1 L such that P E minus P E I, a norm, is less than alpha. Let's say, and I can also ensure that for all I in 1 L, I have that, let's say, the projection, the orthogonal projection onto the subspace V times the projection onto EI is less than beta, then this would imply that for all E in VK, we would have that PV times PE is strictly less than alpha plus beta, which would be strictly less than 1, and this would ensure entanglement. So this would imply that V is entangled. And this is somehow the idea that I would like to try to follow. So, now all what I have said so far was absolutely not random. Where is the randomness going to come in? What I will do is choose. So for each n, first of all, we should specify what is capital N here. And capital N is going to depend, actually, I'm going for each little n, choose a capital N. So this is going to depend on n. And this will behave like a multiple of the total dimension, where I have this parameter here between 0 and 1. And then for each n, we choose V at random of dimension capital N in CK tends CN. And well, now we already obtain a random matrix problem, because now this P sub V is a random matrix. And what we have seen, maybe I should have been a little bit more clear about that, the fact that vector spaces don't intersect, and that the projections onto this orthogonal projection to the two images are strictly less than one is an equivalent condition. So basically, what we would like to do is to study the projection onto V. Here, I should also have done something a little bit better. I should have said tensor. So this is the bigger projection, I should say, the dilated projection or something like that. What I have to study is the random matrix PV times PEI tensor IN. And especially I would like, so, and now we have a good, honest, random matrix model. It turns out that it's not self-adjoint, and for some reason in random matrix theory, we prefer to have self-adjoint models. So what we are doing instead is we are multiplying it by its conjugate, and we obtain this random matrix model, this random matrix model. And well, this is a random matrix model which has been studied quite a bit. Let me say a couple of things about the general setting that we are having here. Facts. Let me say a couple of facts about this random matrix model. So what I am looking at basically is PQP, and these two guys are random projections of rank, let's say. So I changed a little bit the notation, but just for the purpose of saying something a little bit general and to advertise some techniques of random matrix theory, which I think could be of further use in quantum information theory. I said P here is of rank a little p, and Q is of rank little q, and this, let's say that they belong in M, N of C. So I hope it won't be too confusing, because here this was the NK by NK matrices instead of the N by N matrices. It turns out that this, the eigenvalues of this random matrix are known. So let me make an extra little assumption, which does not cost a lot, which is to assume that, let me assume that Q here is less or equal than P. We can do that because if we are looking at eigenvalues, it doesn't matter if I look at Q, PQP or QPQ, the eigenvalues will be the same. And let me also assume that P plus Q is less or equal than N. And this is something which won't hurt our intuition, because if P plus Q is more than N, we basically already know that we don't have a lot to prove. If P plus Q is strictly greater than N, we know that we have eigenvalues 1, and we can just drop them by taking 1 minus Q instead of Q, and using some symmetry arguments or something like that. Well, what we have is that in that case, we can think of this matrix, which I would call Z, as a matrix which is an endomorphism on the image of P. I can really think that it's acting just on the image of P, and so that it has eigenvalues lambda 1 up to lambda P. And what it turns out that these eigenvalues are what is called a Jacobi ensemble. So what is a Jacobi ensemble? It means that the joint distribution of eigenvalues, okay. What can I do? So the joint distribution of eigenvalues is proportional to product for I less than j. So you already have seen functions like this before, maybe in Zaytuni's talk and other talks as well. Lambda I minus lambda j square times product for I between 1 and p of 1 minus lambda I to the n minus p minus q times lambda I to the p minus q. And this is the density with respect to the eigenvalues d lambda 1, d lambda q. Yes.
So this model here, or so when you say that p and q are random,
yes.
What assumptions, like, what does it mean to be random?
Okay, so what I mean, indeed there is a small catch here. Here this matrix is not random, whereas this one is random. It turns out, so what do I mean first of all by taking two random matrices? I mean that they are, as classical variables, they are IID. And each one has a distribution which is invariant under conjugation by unitary matrices. So here, this is not exactly the same model as that one, but the eigenvalues are the same because somehow the randomness can be, we can absorb the randomness of one of the two. So the eigenvalue distribution of this random matrix is also of this random matrix, but where only one of the two projections is random, will also follow such a distribution. And it turns out that whenever you have something like that, you can say lots of things, and you can make a very sharp analysis of eigenvalues. And one of the things that will be of great interest for us here is to try to understand what is the largest eigenvalue with
high probability, or almost surely, or something like that. So let me just explain a little bit how that works. It turns out that these matrices which have this form here are what is called in general a determinantal point process. And what is a determinantal point process? Let's consider lambda to be the union for I, let's say, here between one. Okay, so here p should have been q. For lambda between I 1 and q of lambda i's. So now this is a random, this is a random set with k points in 0, 1. Okay, and what we would like to understand, this random set has the very nice property that if I would like to understand where this random set falls, in the sense that I would like to understand whether lambda can be found in some infinitesimal set like this, I1, x1 plus dx1. And so on and so forth, I would lambda intersection xl, x, so xl plus dxl is greater or equal than 1, and so on and so forth. This turns out to have a density with respect to dx1, dxn, so the infinitesimal size of the intervals which I'm considering here. And the density is very nice in the sense that I can write it as determinants of k. So this is going to depend on all the parameters here with xi, xj. Let me explain also what is k here, because it has a nice shape. So k of x of xj here, of xy, let's say, is this. I'm going to introduce my notation. This is square root w of x, w of y, sum for I between 0 and q minus 1 of pi x, pi y. Now, what do I mean by this? The function w of x is what is called the weight associated to the determinant point process. So here, this is 1 minus x the n minus p minus q times x to the p minus q. And the pi's are the orthonormal polynomials. So we have a very explicit formula. And this formula, the very interesting thing about it is that it actually does not depend on L. Yes?
The notation there, the intersection of the set with an interval?
With an infinitesimal interval, yes.
It's supposed to be greater than 1?
Well, I'm writing greater or equal than 1, but actually, since we are taking infinitesimal sets, actually, this is, you could put equal 1 also if you want. What you are looking is you have a random set, and you would like to check the probability that of the presence of eigenvalues in some infinitesimal interval somehow.
What you mean is that it's non-void, right?
Yes. The thing is that if I putting greater or equal than 1 or putting equals 1 is the same. Yeah,
I was wondering more just what, so it's, I should just interpret that more or less as non-empty.
Yes.
Cardinality is not written to all.
A cardinality.
Yes.
Okay.
This was it. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
and the PIs are orthonormal with respect to W, right?
Yes. So, what we have is that with this we can prove that almost surely.
As n goes to infinity, let's say here with the setting that p over n behaves like alpha and q over n behaves like beta. So I'm still in the general case, which and this case should follow from the general case. We have that. The eigenvalue counting measure, which I can write
as 1 over q sum for I between 1 and q of delta lambda I, converges. I'm not going to write it because probably I will run out of time. But let me just say that we also have that the largest eigenvalue, so almost surely, again, converges to a quantity which we can identify as being alpha plus beta minus 2 alpha beta plus square root of 4 alpha beta, 1 minus alpha, 1 minus beta, which I'm going to call R here. And the important remark that I would like to make here is that this, one of the big benefits of taking a random matrix model here is that the eigenvalue distribution only depends on the ranks of the two projections, which means it does not depend on a specific choice of EI. So remember, I was making an argument at the beginning that we could take, we could take sufficiently many EIs, L of them, but K is fixed, so it does not matter how many we take. We take finitely many of them, such that I can ensure that the norm of my random matrix is small enough. And so what we obtain from this is So as a byproduct from this, a corollary is that, as soon as t is strictly less than 1 minus k, we have just by computing this quantity here, which I call R, we have that.
almost surely, as n goes to infinity, v sub n, the nth, my nth instance of my random channel v, so this was in ck tens cn, is entangled. And you see, this is already something which is not very surprising from the point of view of random matrix theory, but still, I mean, maybe from the quantum information theoretical point of view, we see that we have this somehow this phase transition, right? If t is greater, is strictly greater than 1 minus 1 over k, we have, by a simple dimension argument, the fact that it's going to be entangled, and actually it's going to be entangled with any possible choice in k. And if t becomes strictly less than this dimension, 1 minus 1 over k, then it will almost surely, for n large enough, fail, be entangled. So we have this thing that happens here. And now we can even say more about that. So this is basically from this idea that we started to build on things with Ion, and then also with Charban. The thing is that somehow now if I have an element x which belongs to my space Vn, which is included in Ck tens Cn, I can. Okay, so, ouch. Okay, I'll be done in 5 minutes, no problem. okay, so what we, if I write, it's Schmidt decomposition. So X is sum for I between 1 and K of lambda I EI tens FI. So this is decreasing coefficients, and this is also normal vectors. What we have, let's say if the L2 norm of X is 1, what I have is that the lambda I's, they belong to a probability simplex. So let me just draw a picture in the case K equals 3 to try to wrap up things somehow. So this is my probability simplex in the case K equals 3, okay? So I have the probability vector 1, 0, 0 here, 0, 1, 0 here, and 0, 0, 1 here. What I have told you so far tells is that if I have R here, which is my number between 0 and 1, that quantity here, almost surely all the Schmidt coefficients, they belong. So I can draw R here, and I can draw R again here. They belong to that area. So having a point here would entail that I have entanglement, that I fail to have entanglement, and all these areas fail to occur with probability 1. So I have entangled space. Now the next part is, instead of taking rank one projection, if I take, for example, if instead of taking P of EI tens identity, if instead of doing this, here I take a more general density matrix, for example, a rank 2 matrix, I can obtain equalities like this also. By following the same arguments, I can obtain bounds for, instead of bounds for lambda 1, I can obtain bounds for lambda 1 plus lambda 2. And in principle, I can obtain as many bounds as I would, as I want, if I put density matrices here. So I could obtain many more inequalities. And at the end of the day, I can obtain a convex set. And what we can prove is that almost surely the collection of Schmidt coefficients will belong to that set. And then what we are left with doing, if we want to understand the minimum output entropy problem, is to try to think, well, where is the Rényi entropy, or where is the von Neumann entropy minimized here? It turns out that we can make computations, that we can make computations, and our computations seem to indicate that if k is greater or equal than 183, we will have a violation. And I'll stop here.
program here. You're all